I've got a question to ask you. I guess it'll be the title of my message. Is there a hell? You really believe there's a hell? Now be serious with me. I mean, get real serious. You believe there's a hell? A burning hell? Where the fire's not quenched? Where there's pain and sorrow, anguish, gnashing of teeth? People right now are there. Is there? Is there a hell? It must have cooled off a whole lot from what it used to be. Because it seemed like the church really doesn't care if people go there. Is there a hell? Do you care if people go there? You really believe there's a hell? And you know right now while you're sitting in this church house, people are going to hell every minute. Every tick of the clock. Some soul has died, lost. Take your own finger and put it over on your pulse beat. And every time your heart beats, somebody slipped into eternity. Amen. Amen. Oh, it doesn't affect you right now. Because the one that went now wasn't yours. Amen. But just remember, as sure as the sun comes up and sets, so is death. And the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. Where does a soul go that has sin? Where? Help me preach now. Where? Will your name keep them out of hell? Will because their name Sutherland keep them out of hell? Will because their name Grizzle, will it keep them out of hell? Will God spare yours? If they have sin in their life? And you still believe in hell? You didn't weep any last night. And you didn't cry the night before. You didn't fast any last week. You believe in hell? You didn't witness to nobody yesterday. And the day before you failed to mention Jesus to anybody. And the week went by and you didn't call them up and invite them to church. And you've known all year that this is camp meeting. Amen. If there's any 2 weeks that this church has, where every vacant pew ought to be filled with a sinner, which we're afraid that if they don't get saved, they're going to where? You really believe in a hell that's hot? That's full of torment. That once men go, they never get out. That now they're weeping and wailing and gnashing. Crying. And the next few minutes, the name of that soul that goes to hell may be yours. Is there really a hell? Amen. The church doesn't act like it.
That's right.
We act more like the watchtower.
That's right.
I just believe hell's the grave. Nothing to worry about. But we're holiness folks. We believe in a hot hell.
Amen.
We believe everybody goes to hell who's not born again.
That's right.
Don't we? ye must be born again. Must be born again. Must be. No other way out of hell but ye must be born again. Pin these things in a book because I don't have one of those photographic memories. But listen to how this writer, name was Freda Jackson, wrote this poem called A Voice from Eternity. God is departed and answers no more. Forever is closed. Forever closed is mercy's door. And now in hell my bed I make, because my God I did forsake. He called me oft, he called me long, but I preferred the dance and song. I scorned his love so full and free, and said a myth was Calvary's tree. I rushed along at maddening pace, spurning each day his saving grace, until at last death sounded its keel, and I awoke in the flames of hell. I thought perchance there'd be some friends, but oh my God, they're only fiends. Not a smile or word of cheer do I hear, only the screams of horror and fear. Remorse, remorse, what a terrible thing to remember here how mother did sing. Of amazing grace, his love for me, I found that gift so full and free. Oh, for a chance again to hear the worship chimes played soft and clear. But no, for me, there'll be no song. Eternity's long, eternity's long. But I choose myself this bitter part. I would not give to God my heart. The fiends of hell my heartstrings rend and cry, forever this cannot end. Cannot end. This little tract describes hell. When it says these words, hell, the prison house of despair, here are some things will be there. Fire and brimstone are there, we know, for God in His Word has told us so. Memory, remorse, suffering and pain, weeping and wailing, but all in vain. Blasphemers, swears, haters of God, Christ rejectors while here on earth trod, murderers, gamblers, drunkards, and liars, the filthy, the vile, the cruel, and mean. Oh, what a horrible mob in hell will be seen. Yes, more than humans on earth can tell are the torments and woes of eternal hell. Is there a hell? This story was told by a minister. He went to stay with his brother who was lost and sick. He stayed there for a while, and his brother was getting worse, and he went to sleep and had a dream. And this is how he describes it. He asked his brother to settle it with God. He said, I'll do it when I get well. I don't want anyone to think I turned to God when I was sick. I'll settle it when I get well. He admitted the danger but would not yield. He grew weaker every day. After weeks of watching, I was so worried that I felt I must take a much-needed rest and threw myself down upon a cot and soon fell asleep. I do not know how long I slept, but I do know that I was seized by some strange nightmare, and I endured the agony of soul and spirit that no mind can conceive or describe. I seemed to see my brother's face evidence some fearful struggles that were going on within, and in the midst of his paroxysm, his mouth opened and a miniature object emerged. It seemed to me that it was his soul. Strange thought, fearful picture. But it seemed to realize the immediate danger, for it sprang to the floor and rushed across the room where the light wood was piled in the corner and hid beneath it. My attention was then directed to the swamp, and I saw an object that was an object a little the undersize of a man, with the marks of damnation upon his face. His paraphernalia bespoke his hellish mission, and his face was fiendish intent. He came stealthily to the house without any sign of fear, and at last reached out his hand for the outside doorknob to enter the house. The power of a vice seemed to hold me, for I tried to scream, to rise, to move, but I was powerless within the awful grasp of that dream. I looked, and that hellish monster stood in the room and looked at me, seeming to realize my helplessness. He walked straight to the bed and looked into the face of my brother. Evidently, he realized that the spirit had tried to evade him, but he seemed to track it to the corner underneath the wide light wood and began slowly to remove the pine knots in order that he might seize his prize. At last, the tiny object sprang quickly from the light wood and made a dash for liberty, but as quick as a flash, the devil was upon it. I heard my brother's voice clearly as I ever heard it, and I saw his arms wave frantically above his head as he shrieked, "Lost! Lost!" But I saw the fiendish smile upon the demonic face as he cried out in horrid, rasping tones, "Ha ha, ha ha, I've come for my own." Do you believe in hell? Hell. It is a literal place, just like Flatwood. There's people in hell tonight from this community. It could be your neighbors. If in God's greatness, if He would roll back the curtains and let you look into hell tonight, no doubt you would be surprised at the number of people in hell that you would know. But what a pricked heart you would have. And what a conscience stirring it would be for you to answer the questions, "Are they there because of me? Could I have saved them from such an awful place? Did I pray? Did I cry? Did I do my best? Did I warn them often enough? Did I plead with God that they might be saved? Or is those people in hell because of me?" You see, there's nothing any worse in the world than for a man to have the cure for a sickness and not distribute it so that those that are sick might be well. We have choice words for men who have a storehouse full of food and everybody around them starving. What of a church that has such a powerful gospel and believes in a heaven that is so wondrous and glorious that it cannot be described, and a hell so hot and horrible that we can't even keep our mind on it very long at a time? Hell's hot. If you don't think hell's hot, Go home tonight. Get you just a kitchen match. Strike it. And then just hold your finger in the flame of a kitchen match. You'll soon pull it back in utter pain. Just the flame from the sulfur or chemicals on the head of a kitchen match will make you withdraw in pain. There's souls tonight that from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, they have pain magnified, greater than you can imagine. For in hell, the rich man said, I am tormented in these flames. Is there a hell? People are there right now, suffering that can never escape. Right now, they're there. And never will mercy knock at their heart's door. Right now, they're there. And never a prayer will escape hell. They'll pray. They'll cry. They'll weep. They'll mourn. But prayer does not escape hell. Every prayer that was uttered from hell was turned down. The rich man asked for just a drop of water and was turned down. Because in hell there's no relief. No water, no singing, no prayer, no help. Forever hopelessly lost. In hell. Is there a hell, church? Really deep down in your heart, believe in a hell? And do no more than what we're doing to keep people from going. It seems sort of a paradox to me that we know how to lead men to a better way, to a better country, and yet they're going by us and around us. And I wonder, in 1989, which is almost half gone now, have you won one soul to Jesus Christ? Have you brought one sinner to the house of God? Have you prayed a day for one soul only? Do we have a burden? Do we feel a touch? Is there anything stirring in our heart that says, I must do what I can do while it's day, for the night's coming when no man can work? Hell. Jesus said these things about hell. He said there's a danger of hell. That danger exists right now in your family. Let's let our conscience speak to us and let this preacher ask you the question that stimulates your conscience. How many sitting here tonight has at least one person in their family which they love deeply that's going to hell? Unless they get saved. Amen. How many have over five? Oh God. Oh God. Did you see how many hands there was with one? There was probably 10 or 15 people that raised their hands and others that nodded their head. I said, yes. Yes, when you said that, I seen their face. It spoke to my heart that Billy or Johnny or Frank or Danny or Bob or Bill Unless they get saved, they're going to hell. Julie or Susie or Pam or Sharon, they're going to hell unless they get saved. The very vital question next is, how much further do they have to go before they arrive? They're in danger right now of hell. Their heart stops. They're in hell. A car swerves, as we've seen. We don't know if there's anybody in the car or not. Apparently there wasn't, but coming around the curve on 23, some young boy or somebody slid off of the road, and a little Ford hit up against the bank and erupted into a ball of flames. Amen. We come by, it was burning.
Amen.
If he got out or she got out, they were spared from the danger of hell. But if they didn't and they were lost, they went from a flaming car to a flaming hell. How much further do your loved ones have to go before they end up in the destination that's plotted for every man that turns his back and turns his heart from God? I want you to know they don't go to heaven because they're good boys and good girls. They don't go to heaven because they're in a Christian family and got a praying mama and a praying daddy. They don't go to heaven because they've always been raised in church. They must be born again. And without being born again, they'll die and go to the devil's hell. They're in danger of hell right now. Just as much danger as if they had a loaded gun stuck to their head. That much danger. You see, not only that, but the Bible said that God had power and the ability to destroy both soul and body in hell.
Amen. Amen.
We see somebody who's an alcoholic, we say they're destroying themselves with drink. We see somebody smoking cigarettes and we're saying they're destroying themselves. That'll give them cancer. Or with a chew or a dip in their lip, and we'll say they're going to kill themselves. They're destroying themselves. But yet we can watch people walk daily away from God, knowing that they're walking to a destruction that no man can deliver them from. They're going towards the destruction of hell. Nobody has ever went to hell and got out. Nobody has ever escaped the damnations of hell. Listen, Jesus said these words, "You shall be brought," or "it shall be brought down to hell." Heaven's up. Heaven's out of this earth. But the Bible said, down into hell. Cast into hell's fire. Hell's fire is also described as everlasting fire. How long is everlasting? As far as you can imagine into the future. As far as you can count and calculate. If there's no end to your eternal life, to your everlasting life, and you're figuring on living forever when you get to heaven, just down below there's a raging inferno called hell. And the people that's confined to hell will be in as hell as long as you're in heaven. While you're there talking about bliss, they'll be screaming in the terrible torments of a hell. I want you to know, my friend, if you're going to get them out of hell, you've got to do it in the land of the living. You've got to do it while they're alive. For once the soul dies, it goes to hell, except it's been saved, blood bought, sanctified by the mighty power of an everlasting God.
Amen.
You see, my friend, there is the question Jesus asked. How can ye escape the damnation of hell? Is there another route around hell? Every one of us had to come through the door. Every one of us had to bow our knee, confess our sins, Repent of them. Be blood washed. Follow with water baptism. Seek God for sanctification. Cry out to God for a baptism. And then every day watch our step in order to make it to heaven. There's no other way to heaven than the way I took and you took. Because ye must be, Jesus said, ye must be born again. Every child that you have with your name, if it's not born again, it's got hell stamped on its life. It's in the danger of hell right now. It's twofold a child of hell right now. And if God doesn't save your boy or save your girl, they're going to die and go to a devil's hell. Somebody help me preach. There's a terrible thing about the church. And that's that we really have lost the fear of God. And the awfulness of well, we don't fear God because God said, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin.
Amen. Amen,
do you know the best thing you could do for the person that's lost, that lives with you and loves you and has your name, is not give them a new shirt for Christmas. It's not to give them a new car. Not to sign over a title deed to a plot of land. The best thing you can do for the person that you love and has your name is to realize if they don't get saved, they're going to die and go to hell. Mamas, I don't know why that we don't have any crying mamas anymore. I don't know why we don't have any weeping daddies no more. It's as though we accept the doctrine of hell, but we don't really believe that hell's as hot and hell's as awful as it used to be. We don't worry about hell. It's as though nobody dies anymore. And nobody dies lost anymore. It's as though everybody's alright. And nobody goes to a devil's hell. But I want you to know they're going there tonight. They're going there real fast. They're going there by the minute. Souls are stepping off into eternity, lost without God. If you could hear the screams coming up from that horrible pit called hell, there wouldn't be no altar call. There wouldn't be no preaching. We'd ever want to get ourselves to a corner somewhere and seclude ourselves and say, oh God, I can't stand that screaming. I can't stand to hear that scream of torment. I can't stand to hear that scream. Some of the screams in hell you'll hear, if God would lift the lid off, would be some boy and some girl calling your name. They'll call, Mom! Oh, Mom, I wish I'd have listened to you. Mom, why did you tell me about this awful place? Mom! And some of those boys down there would say, Dad, help me, Dad. You've always helped me. You've always got me out of trouble. But there's a place where Dad can't reach. There's a place where Mom can't reach. There's a place where God won't reach. And that place is called hell. Help me, sweet Holy Ghost. You can sit there cool, calm, and collective. There's a world out there that's lost. Flatwoods, not a Christian community. You hear me? Your little hometown's not a Christian community. There's people out there right now that's driving by this church that doesn't care that hell's enlarging itself to make room for them. Amen. Come on now. If your little girls don't stay saved, they'll be far for them in hell. If your boy don't stay saved, they'll be far for them in hell. Those babies that you hold on your arms, Mom, that you're raising up, if they don't get them to an altar and get them prayed through the good old time salvation, you're raising them for hell. Amen. You've heard them say, I'm going out tonight and raise hell. If they knew what they're trying to raise up, they'd leave hell alone. around, they'd shun it, they'd walk away from it, they'd shun it like a plague. But they'll go out and say, I'm going to go raise hell. You don't raise hell in hell, my friend. You plead and you scream and you cry and you beg and you ask God for some rest. But the psalmist said, there is no rest in hell. There's no corner to crawl up and take a nap in hell. Every lost soul that's in hell is wide-eyed tonight. Wide-eyed with terror. Oh yes, there's no rest in hell. There's no place to put your feet. To rest means to repose. And to lay down, to be still. The Bible said there's no rest in hell. You didn't find the rich man asking for rest. He's asked for something that would ease his torment. No rest. He didn't know place to take a mat. No, though the psalmist said, though I make my bed in hell, there ain't no sleep. It just means that's where you're going to stay. Amen. Come on now. And let me tell you something. Every sin you practice is just wood on the fire of hell. You've got hell burning in you right now. If you've got sin in your life, you've got hell burning in your heart right now. All it'll take is for you to take the step over the boundary of death, and you'll find that you've already started. Hell's fire burning in your heart. You've got it now if there's a sin in your life. That's the fuel that fire. That fires hell. Sin is the very fuel of hell. And if you practice sin, your sins will add to the heat and the torments of hell. There's no rest from those dirty passions. No rest from those awful thoughts. There'll be no rest of hatred. There'll be no rest of malice. If it's not repented of here in this life, there's no rest for it in hell. My friend, if you go from this earth to hell with hatred in your heart, you might as well look for it for everlasting. It'll be. You'll hate, but you can't do nothing about it. You'll scream for release from it, but you can't get no relief from it. Oh my God, a man in hell that's been took to hell by a bottle of alcohol, and there's no alcohol in hell. His tongue licks his lips, trying to find somebody that'll give him something to cure that haunting, nagging agony of being hooked on alcohol. And there's no alcohol there. There's no joint there. There's no dope there. There's nothing there. My friend, nothing there. But the memory. Remember what Abraham said to the rich man. Son, remember in thy lifetime. Yes, you'll relive it again. You'll relive every awful act. You'll relive every awful deed. You'll relive every sin that you committed. You'll relive it over and over again. And in hell, there'll be no rest. No rest of mind, no rest of body, no rest of thought. In hell. In hell. Listen, church, I want to ask you one more time. Do you really believe in a literal hell? And it doesn't terrify you that before morning, the one that you raised your hand or nodded your head that you had lost might be in hell. It's hard to believe churches have got so hard-hearted. And I'm talking about me, my brother, and I'm talking about you. It's hard to believe we've been around this gospel as long as we have and don't cry no more than we cry. Isn't it, Brother Spence? Hard to believe we sat in these pews all these years and lost the fountain that Jeremiah had as he seen his people go away from God. Oh, he said, that my eyes were fountains. I could weep for my people. Oh God, where are the weepers and the mourners and those who hold up God with agonizing prayers? Oh God, save my son. Oh God, save my daughter. Oh God, save. Have revival, Lord. Stir my heart till I won't eat. Stir my heart till I don't want to eat. Stir my heart till I cry. Stir my heart to my weeping, disturbs my sleep. Stir my heart, Lord, to my pillow float with the tears that I'm shedding, because I realize my people are perishing and dying and going to a devil's hell. Revival without fasting? Have we got that far? Revival and not a day of fasting for the lost? Have we become that formal? Revival and not one night of prayer? Have we got that far? Has Flatwood become that formal? Help me preach. I told you the other night I come to preach to you. I've looked forward to coming for a long time, and here I am, and I'm going to preach. I'm going to preach what God gives me if I never come back again. While I'm here, I want to stir your heart. Listen, my friend, don't you tell me you're doing the best you can. Don't you lie to the Holy Ghost. Don't you lie and tell Him that you are. When we don't have sleepless nights and walk the floor and have a burden on our heart, when tonight, when this is all over, we'll disperse and go home and lay our head on our pillow and forget about the preaching and forget about those that are lost and come back tomorrow night and not even have on our countenance a sign of worry, a sign of concern over those that are lost. No! A thousand times no! Don't let us get like that, oh God! Don't let us lose our first love when we wanted everybody to get saved! Don't let us leave our first love when we wanted somebody to pray through and we wanted to get down beside them and pray them through! When we wanted to pray until heaven moved and pray till somebody weeped through and pray until God gave revival! Oh God, by the mercies of your grace! Don't let us get so hard-hearted and formal that we just say, if they want to get saved, they'll come. If my preaching is so off base, then I want to know how many you brought to revival when Brother Pittman was here. How many more chances are we going to get at Him? How far off is judgment? How far off? How far away is judgment? The psalmist said, there's but a step. Oh God, there's but a step between me and death. And that's all there is between any of us. Just a step between me and death. Just a fragile heartbeat. Right now I may be packing within my very beings my death warrant. It may already have my date fixed. I remember as a young pastor when I pastored in Indiana, that's a young man. And an older preacher came. He told me he had just got out of surgery and he was feeling better. And I said, well, you want to preach? He said, yeah. He said, I want to preach. Man, did he preach that night. He run the aisle. He liked to sit in your lap. He'd sit there and preach a while, mess your hair up to see if you had any pride. I mean, he had a time. I mean, he run, he jumped, he hollered. And he got over to the end. We used to have a little opening like this on both ends of ours with an altar like this. And he come over here and he stood by the end of the altar and he turned around and faced the congregation. I wished I could preach like Avis Crawford. Well, he was preaching like an angel that night. Well, nobody could out-preach him. He took two steps upon that platform, fell face first in the platform. And the time we got to him, he was dead. He didn't know that when he kissed his wife goodbye and told her, I'm going to church tonight. I'll be home in a little bit. He didn't never see his wife again. He didn't know that he was going to leave from a pulpit and go to heaven. No, he didn't. Don't you think if he did, he had asked that lost girl to come to church with him? Don't you think if he knew that was his last time of preaching, he'd have got that lost boy and that other lost boy of his and brought him to church? I'll tell you, he didn't know that was his last time to preach. Amen. I had to go with the body to the hospital. I had to wait there as those boys and those girls and his wife came. I had to go to him and tell him, Dad's gone. Dad's gone. Dad's done gone. There's no need to pray. Oh, you talk about the weeping and wailing that went on in that little room as they said, we'll never see Dad alive again. Well, just today is all right. Yes, my friend, today all right, but tomorrow what? Tonight what? Before this revival's over, what? Can you answer it? How many more days you got until death comes? How many more hours have you got till death comes? And let me tell you, my friend, if there's a sin in your heart, you will not leave from this pew and go to heaven. If there's sin in your life, you will leave this church and split hell wide open. How many sins does it take to go to hell? I'll tell you plainly. One unrepented sin will take your soul to hell. Just one. Somebody tonight. Somebody needs to open their heart to this message. You may have somebody that's lined up for hell. You may be the only one that can turn them from it. You may be the only one able to reach them in time with the message that Jesus cares. As a pastor, I've spent nights at the hospital waiting for death to come. I've stood there beside those that were waiting. And no matter how soon or how long it took, they were never ready for it. Never. As long as there was a beat in the heart, there was hope. But oh, the hopelessness is when that chest quits and the face turns gray and the eyes set and it's so final. And they said, they're dead. I seen a mama who had rejected her baby, let her own mother raise it. Didn't have time for it. She was too busy. And that baby didn't get to where it was 8 years old. In an accident, it perished. I preached the funeral. And I could say to the little boy, it's well. But you ought to have been there with me when she went up to the coffin, put her arms under that little corpse, and said, oh, baby, Mama's sorry. Oh, baby, Mama's so sorry. If I could just have you back, things would be so different. Oh, baby. And she'd try to lift him up out of that. Oh, baby. And she'd kiss him, stroke his hair. But death is so final. There's no answer. There's no emotion. There's no saying, okay, Mama, I forgive you. Too late.
You need to go to him before it's too late. And you need to say, son, daddy's got something he's got to tell you. I love you till my heart's breaking. I can't stand the thought of you dying without Jesus. We need to go to him with real, genuine tears. It says, I love you, baby. I can't stand the thoughts of you going to hell. You're breaking my heart. You're breaking your mama's heart. I can't stand it. I can't sleep and I can't eat. When we get a burden like that, my friend, you'll see revival spring out. You'll see revival reach out. But no wonder revival can't come. We haven't been. We haven't said it. We haven't meant it. We went on in our own busy way. We worked our shift. We put in our time. We come home, we're tired. We eat our supper, kick up our feet, and we forget that while we're there relaxing, people are going to hell. Oh. Preacher told the story. Him and another preacher going to preach. They were leaving a little town in Kentucky down the road. Him and his preacher friend was going, and as they went down the road, they passed a little tavern and saw there a great big old 18-wheeler sitting pretty. They made the remark, boy, it's a pretty truck. And then just a little while down the road, they seen that truck come barreling by, breaking the speed limit. Both those preachers looked, and with a consenting nod, they said, he's fixing to wreck that rig. Well, they went on down the road just a little piece, and there in the bend of the road, they saw the back of a trailer. It missed its turn, and over the bluff it went, the back of the trailer sticking up, and the cab pushed against the bank. They got out and went down, and the young man opened the door, tried to open the door, and they couldn't. And the young man said, my feet are trapped. I can't move my feet. My feet are caught. And they worked to try to help him, and there was to no avail. And then all of a sudden he said, I smell smoke. And the rig began to catch on fire. It started down underneath the young man's feet. They took their fire extinguisher, couldn't put it out. They used every means they could, and it kept climbing till the young man said, my feet are on fire. Please help me. Please help me. And the fire kept coming up. He had one arm pinned, and he couldn't use it. It was pinned underneath the steering wheel. And with the other hand, he began to try to slap to put the fire out as it climbed up his jeans. He said, oh, please help me. Get me out of this fire. And the preachers knew that it was just moments till that whole thing was going to go. And the preacher said, son, pray. And he said, I can't. He said, I'm in too much pain. And he slapped. As the fire kept coming up, he'd grab hands full of hair and pull it literally out of his head. And holler, I'm burning up alive. Somebody help me. Preachers backed off and watched it. And the last thing they seen was a young man with his hand in his hair pulling and screaming, I'm lost and I'm going to hell and I'm burning alive, as he pulled hands full of hair out of his head in pain. He went from a burning truck to a burning hell. And nobody could help him. Bruce Cole told of the story in Louisville of a propane tank that caught on fire. And the driver got caught in the cab of it. They flagged men away. Away from the explosion. A trooper came and the young man was trapped. And he said to the trooper, as the flames were burning him alive, please shoot me. Just shoot me. I can't take this pain. Please shoot me. Oh, you think that pain was something? He's in hell tonight in worse pain than that. Do you really believe in a literal hell? Do you really believe in hell and do nothing? Week after week and month after month, and never pray through over one soul? Seems I hear the sister say that when her boy was sick, she prayed through to God, told him, or told her, that he'd be well. And she said, I stood on it when nobody else believed it. Well, if we pray through over a disease, why can't we pray through over sin? If we get tore up about cancer, there's worse scourge than a cancer in our land. It's called sin. It's killing people. Oh God, it's destroying families. It's taking children out of mother's arms. It's taking children away from church. It's taking your young people right out away from your altar. And if they die in that backslidden state, they go to hell. You need to ask him one more time. You really believe? Do you young men really believe in hell? It's strange, 10-1 in every church you'll hear more talk about heaven than you do hell. But when Jesus preached among men, he spoke more on hell than he ever spoke of heaven. He warned and pleaded and went and cried and wept, hearing as he looked upon Jerusalem and said, Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered you as a hen doth her brood, but you would not. But he, oh, don't ever forget, he said, how often I would have. How often I would have saved you from this destruction. How often I would have brought you into my bosom. How often I would have loved you, but ye would not. And the verdict against the church tonight is, ye would not. You tell me the Holy Ghost that's in us doesn't know about hell. Don't tell me the Holy Ghost in us doesn't know about the torments of hell. Don't tell me the Holy Ghost that's within us doesn't want people to be saved from the devil's hell. Yes, he still wants men and women saved. He is going out of his way wooing them and convicting them and troubling them. The only problem is the church won't let the Holy Ghost do the work as long as it blesses. Wherefore the blessing? But when it wants to burden us, oh God, oh God, my people preached to me. I said, you can't keep on going like you're going. This summer, or this spring rather, I had a terrible bout with blood pressure. And all of them diagnosed my case right off. You're just going too much. You need to rest some more. He was ready to buy me a fishing pole and send me off fishing. They forgot to ask me. They forgot to ask one vital question. Did God want me to go fishing? Or does God want me to go and plead with your children? And plead with somebody else's children? Down at King Mountain, there was a man prayed named Roger. Roger prayed one night back there. He was a preacher's boy. Roger prayed. And I asked the guy that knew him, I said, who is that? And they said, that's Roger. He said, if Roger prays, it'll be worth this whole camp meeting. I said, what do you mean? He said, I can't tell you. But he said, Roger's sins are awful. He said, Roger's sins are so terrible. He said, I try to pray for him, and I can't pray for Roger because I know of everything he's done. He said, Roger's sins are so bad. Roger prayed that night, didn't get victory. I told Roger, I said, come back, Roger. Come back. Pray again. There's victory for you. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth from all sin. Roger don't have to go to hell because his sin's so awful. Though I don't appreciate his sins, I've got to tell him the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. Roger came back Sunday morning, and I preached again. The night I preached that Roger prayed, I preached on hell. I preached hell as hot as I could preach it. And it melted Roger's knees until he went down to the carpet. He come and told me after Sunday morning he prayed and testified about getting saved. And said, he said, what I like about you, preacher. He said, you don't joke. I said, hell's no joke, Roger. Oh, God. A heartless person that says to anybody, go to hell. That's heartless. That's heartless. I've heard men say to their children, I'll just get out of your way and let you go to hell then. No, don't get out of their way. Lay down in their way if you have to. Do anything but stay in their way. Make them see you. Make them see that you care. Make them hear you pray. Make them hear you call their name and say, oh God, don't let my son go to hell. Amen. Amen. My boy will soon be 21. Fine looking fella. But before he prayed, I told him, I said, son, you start practicing sin. Let me tell you what it'll do. It'll send you to hell. Mama's prayers and daddy's prayers won't get you out of hell once you get there. Amen. Amen. There's a place I can't reach. If my boy was in California and he called me and said, Dad, I need you, I'd spend every dime I had to get to him to try to help him. Oh, God, I'd go the limit to help my flesh and help my blood. If my girl was in trouble anywhere in this world, I'd go to her if there's any way possible I could. But there's a place that I cannot go. There's a place that you cannot go. There's a place that no one's allowed to go help. And that place is called hell. And if they get through your hands and get to hell, my friend, you'll not get them back. Ever. You'll not ever get them back. The only hope we have is this. Let's get them now. Get them now. Bow your head. All over the building. Father. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. Stir our hearts once again with old-fashioned conviction and burden. Fill our altar tonight, Lord, with repentant Christians who changed their mind about revival. Oh, Spirit of God. Touch each and every heart, every mom, every dad that's got a lost boy or a lost girl. Touch hearts tonight. Oh, Spirit of God, speak. Speak to hearts tonight, oh God. Speak to our hearts till revival breaks out within my heart with a burden. Oh God, it won't be eased till I see somebody pray.